It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. I want to know if you would rather get rich or watch some free baseball. We're gonna have a fun discussion today. We've got Nathan Forlina in studio. I think you and I are going to enjoy this. Maybe the listeners will enjoy this. I'll let you know exactly what it is in a second. But it's kind of a what would you do kind of scenario.
Yeah, it's a good scenario because there is a lot of traction around this one object and there's a lot of money going around, so we'll see what it ends up. I kind of have an idea in my mind what it will end up around, but I'll let you get into it and we'll talk about it.
All right, so our phone line is 946-0435. We're going to have a fun little discussion here in just a second. We're going to talk some college football in a little bit as well. College football playoff rankings come out tonight. What to do with Indiana? Is Indiana any damn good at all? Does Indiana deserve to be anywhere near a top 5, 6, 7 spot in the college football play? Their schedule is absolutely garbage. It's absolutely horrendous. It's the worst schedule I've ever seen for a team that's undefeated this late in the year from a power conference. They beat Michigan, but Michigan's terrible this year. So we're going to get to that in a few minutes, and we'll take your calls on that as well. To kind of set up our little discussion here. Now, you're a young guy. This movie is 45, 50 years old. Have you ever seen the original Willy Wonka?
Not the entire thing.
Okay. Did you see like the remake?
I didn't watch the remake, no.
Okay. So for the listeners out there.
I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah. There's a golden ticket. There's 5 golden tickets that are going to be sold all around the world. And you can't relate to this since you haven't seen it, but all of you out there have seen Willy Wonka. It's fascinating to me that Charlie lives in like this rundown shack with his grandparents who cannot get out of bed. They literally, Nathan, cannot get out of bed. Okay?
All right.
They're in one gigantic bed, and there's 4 grandparents there. They like to stay there all the time, okay?
Okay.
So this is I want to say Willy Wonka was like 68, 69, 70, 71, somewhere around that time frame. So in the movie, Charlie and his mom live with the 4 grandparents who can never get out of bed. As soon as Charlie finds that golden ticket, though, baby, Grandpa Joe's up and at him. He hadn't gotten up in 20 years. They say it in the movie. I'm pretty sure, Nathan, that he hadn't gotten out of bed in 20 years. Finds the golden ticket, up and at him, right up and at him. So I've always thought my wife and I have talked about this. I think there's a little something wrong with Grandpa Joe in Willy Wonka. He's just an opportunist. You know, he's just ready to cash in on Charlie's golden ticket. Well, there is a golden ticket out now with regards to baseball cards, Pirates superstar, rookie pitcher, Paul Skeens. So within the last week or 10 days or so, Topps has mentioned that they have put out this one-of-a-kind, rare and unique, one card, Paul Skeens rookie card. It's signed. It's got like an MLB patch kind of deal on it. It's a pretty cool card. There's one. Like, there's one in the whole world.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So I'm going to let Nathan then explain what the Pittsburgh Pirates did, because this card is like the Willy Wonka golden ticket. It's waiting out there for Veruca Salt or Charlie Bucket or Mike TV or Violet, whatchamacallit, or the big chubby kid or Roostus Glute or whatever the hell his name was. Everybody's trying to find this golden ticket of the Paul Skeens baseball card. What did the Pirates do?
All right, so to give a little premise, so this patch in there, it was worn on his first MLB, his first jersey he wore on the mound. This little patch says MLB debut. What they do, Topps, what they do is they take that then and they put this in a card. So there's like 200 to 300 of these players who are rookies that have this. They get them to sign it. Only card in the world of this. So this released about 2 weeks ago, I think November 6th when it released. And still, it's out there.
People, it's out there. It's in a package somewhere, right?
People have opened millions of packs trying to get this card right now. Boxes, I think their original price is like $175 to $200. They're all the way up to like $350 now. Like, they've almost two times in price because, I mean...
For the set?
For the box, just to open and have a chance at getting this card.
I got you, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is... Because it hasn't been pulled yet, there's a better chance that's in that pack because it's still out there. So, I mean, Ellie De La Cruz's have been pulled. There's been big ones pulled, but the Skeens is the big one. So the Pirates offered essentially... Their franchise. I mean, this is probably...
Bob Nutting's going to sell the team. No. So if you get this card and you want to turn it over to the Pittsburgh Pirates for their posterity, mm-hmm. what are the Pirates going to give you?
So I'm going to pull it up right now. I know right now 30 season tickets behind home plate is the first thing.
Two season tickets behind home plate at PNC Park. For 30 years. I mean, that's pretty sweet.
So right there, I think the value people have speculated is right around $900,000.
Okay.
That's not accounting for inflation, too. So it's probably more like $1.5 to $1.6 million.
I got lucky, just to kind of share this little story real quick. The Nuttings own the Altoona Mirror. They gave us, our sports staff, free tickets to sit behind home plate. I don't know. 10, 15 years ago. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
But the great thing back there is you get all the food you can eat for free. They have waitress service.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody still jokes like to this day that I ate like 10 chocolate chip cookies. Like they would keep bringing you these warm chocolate chip cookies. It was great, you mm-hmm. know. So not only do you get to eat the pregame buffet, now they've got waitress service throughout the game for you. So two season tickets behind home plate at PNC Park.
For 30 years.
Now, granted, you got to watch the Pirates.
Yeah, I mean, this is a totally different story if it's the Yankees, but the Pirates.
Correct.
But still, that's a long time.
And what else? What else are the Pirates going to give you if you give them this card?
A softball game at PNC Park with up to 30 people where you're going to have Pirates alumni coaching you.
I would love that, baby.
Spring training experience like no other, they claim, where you get a private tour of the Pirates City and their minor league ballpark. Meet and greet with Paul Skeens, two Paul Skeens autographed jerseys, take batting practice and warm up with the team, and other unique experiences at Pirate City and their parks. So,
and his girlfriend, Libby Dunn,
yes,
the LSU gymnast, she's kicking in a kiss with... No, I'm just kidding.
Not a kiss.
She's kicking in you can spend a game watching with her in her private suite at PNC Park. So maybe that floats your boat.
So it's so interesting what someone's going to do when this is inevitable. First of all, it could be pulled right now, and someone's just not.
So you get all that stuff. If you're out there and you pull this Paul Skeens baseball card and you want to hand it over to the Pittsburgh Pirates, they're going to give you all that stuff.
All that stuff. It's the biggest bounty, I think, for a card. Because I know Victor Wembanyama, his one-of-one rookie card autograph, that had a bounty of $1 million on it. So someone was going to fork up $1 million when that was pulled. It is pulled now. So, someone got $1 million for that card.
The Wemby card.
The Wemby card.
Okay, so here's the question for everybody. 9460435. Would you take the Pirates deal, or would you keep the card, sell it, auction, whatever, at some point? We'll get into maybe what we think it might run here in just a second. But that's the question. 9460435. What would you do? You've got this baseball card, the main component here the Pirates are trading. You get two season tickets behind home plate for 30 years. Now, the inherent flaw in all of this is if you don't live in Pittsburgh, that's useless to you. Okay, that's meaningless to
you.
Okay, so if you pull this card in L.A., there's no point in you wanting to take the Pirates deal. If you're in Florida or California...
Unless you're just planning on selling it off. I'd be the only... Selling off the team.
I'm guessing... I know how the Pirates work. They probably have, you know... They probably prohibit...
So?
Yeah, I know. I'm sure that's what they do.
Maybe.
That's how the Pirates are.
Yeah, I mean...
You got to understand, giving away two free seasons, that costs the Pirates nothing. It literally costs them nothing. It costs them... Yeah, that's how businesses do deals.
They set the price themselves.
Yeah, I mean, it might be worth $900,000 over the course of 30 years to if we bought it.
That's what somebody's willing to pay for those
Correct.
Tickets.
To the Pirates, it's inventory. They're just giving it to
you. It's two of the 46,000 seats or whatever in PNC Park.
So, but if you live in Pittsburgh, and look, we're in Altoona. And I know a lot of people that go over to watch the Pirates a good bit. I don't know if they go 50 times, but I know a lot of people that will go 15, 20 games a year at least. So living here, you're 20. This means you're going to get to take your kids there whenever you have kids down the road for at least probably 5, 10, 15 years. Would you take the deal?
0% chance.
You would not take the deal?
I would not, because this card is well worth over that.
Already. It's already worth it now.
Right now, I have a number in my head I think it's worth.
Okay.
But I'm telling you, there's a good chance this card's worth quadruple what I'm thinking.
Okay.
In 5 years, 5, 10 years, if this keeps
but
up.
But that's
skins.
If you want to hold, okay.
That's the risk
Here's
you're taking.
The risk.
That's the risk you're
Here's
taking.
Here's the risk, though. I mean, I think the guy's going to have Tommy John surgery in a year or two, and who knows if he becomes what, or if he's able to become, I think he's second, third best pitcher in baseball, if not number one. But that's the risk. Would you take the risk? Okay, Pirates are giving you all this stuff. I'm going to guess that right now the card is worth $1.5 million. What do you think?
I'm saying 2.5 to 3 million.
Okay, right now today, before he's done anything.
I think at auction of itself for that right
okay,
now.
Okay, all right. So would you take a couple factors here.
Mm-hmm.
If you sell the card for $2.5 million, you got to pay taxes on it.
Yes, that is as a major factor.
Now you're getting $1.5 million. Mm-hmm. My guess is you probably have to pay the auction or agent or something a significant amount. Let's say $100,000.
You would be getting probably 60 to 65% of that based on
yeah.
Kind
so
of previous
so let's
stuff.
Let's just say if you're thinking $3 million, let's just say you're going to get $1.6 million. Is that reasonable?
I'm thinking it's going to be around anywhere from $1.6 to $2
million. In real money, that's what you're going to end up with.
Yes, and your bank account, there will be probably the most you'd probably get is $2 million.
And that's today. Now, if Paul Skenes becomes a superstar, I mean an even bigger superstar, and, you know, 10 years from now, if that card's worth $6 million or $8 million.
I think if Skenes goes on the trajectory they're expecting, I think that card's over $10 million.
But you're
banking on it.
You've got a pretty big risk here that he stays healthy, he lives up to the expectations. Steven Strasburg never did. Steven Strasburg is the greatest pitching prospect in the history of baseball, okay? Mm-hmm. And it took him 10 years to finally get a World Series or whatever, and then he got hurt, and he's been hurt off and on, and Steven Strasburg never, ever lived up to what they thought he would be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Paul Skenes, probably a better prospect than Steven Strasburg was in 2010. So, and he's already proven it with Rookie of the Year. So, would you go ahead and take the deal? Would you take the money now? Would you hold on to this card for 3 to 4 years, deal or no deal? Howie Mandel.
For me, I would take the money now. The reason being is because, number one, this is probably the most, unless he literally goes down as a top five pitcher of all time, this is probably one of the highest points that it would sell for, just the hype of it. And I've seen this with the card market, because a guy like Mike Trout, 4 years ago, during the height of the pandemic, his one-of-one rookie card autograph sold for $4.6 million. Right now, that's probably more around $2 million.
So
that's probably a 2.6.
So it's dropped.
Oh, significant.
Mike Trout.
All of Mike Trout's stuff has dropped 75%.
Because he's gotten hurt.
Because he's gotten hurt, yep. And I think people are starting to get out of the market again, so that has caused those prices to go down a little bit. There's very few cards that are actually going to continuously go up in price. I think the Mickey Mantle 52 will continue to go up. The original Honus Wagner card is going to continue to go up. But besides those two, I mean, like, I think the Skenes can go up, because right now you're still living off a ton of the hype, and if he lives up to the hype, it's going to adjust to what it should be towards one of the greats. But
if you were, let's give you 4 years, you're 24, you've graduated college, and you live in Pittsburgh, now you take in the Pirates deal? Because 20 in college, you're 100 miles away. It's not the same to you right now. But if you lived in Pittsburgh and you were a young professional, maybe you're going to start a family soon. You see what I'm getting at? It's a different deal. For me, I'm 51. I'm taking the money. I don't have 30 years to watch the Pirates. I don't want to watch the Pirates once. So I'm taking the money.
For me, it would come down to if I can actually sell some of those tickets, because if I can sell them and get some, like if I can still get like 20 games or so behind home plate, I'll totally do it then.
And then you'll sell the rest.
Then I'll sell the rest. And the reason being is because you're getting an experience you're never going
to
get.
You had better make sure that the Pirates don't fine print you to death, that they don't nutting you.
Yeah.
By making them non-transferable.
Yeah. And I'm being honest, you could probably even leverage that up. Because if in 4 years that card's not pulled yet, if Skeens is still on the Pirates roster doing what he's doing, you can probably get 40 to 50 years. Just keep leveraging that up because you got all the leverage then at that point because they're going to want that. They are going to 100% want that card to display.
All right. James and Altoona, what would you do, man? Would you take the Pirates 30-year deal? Would you go sell the card now? Would you sell the card in 5 years? What would you do?
What did I do? For sure, I wouldn't go see the Pirates, that's for sure. I'm 66 years old. I've been waiting 20 years for them to do something.
Keep on waiting, Jack. Keep on waiting, baby.
Why would I take and risk going to see a game for 30 years, say, and I'm not going to be here for 30 years?
Mm-hmm.
I take the money and run.
Would you sell it now? Nathan made a pretty compelling point with the Mike Trout card that 4 years ago is worth double what it is now. Would you take if you could get $2 million to $3 million now for Skeens' card, what about in 5 years if you could get $6 million? But in 5 years, maybe you're only getting $1 million. That's which route would you go there?
I take the money now. I take the $3 million and live my life until I'm not on here anymore.
Smart,
plus,
man.
I take care of my kids, my grandkids.
Yeah, that's generational, you know, kind of money.
Right. I wouldn't. No. I mean, I'm a diehard Pittsburgh fan. I'm a Steelers fan all my life. I'm a Penguins fan.
Let's sweeten the deal. Let's sweeten the deal. So what would it take? All right. Bob Nutting strikes a deal with the Rooneys, and they strike a deal with Fenway Sports Group. They're going to give you 30 years of season tickets for the Pirates, the Steelers, and the Penguins. Now what do you do?
I don't know. It would be the Steelers.
Yep.
And I could pass it down. If I could pass it down.
Yep.
When I pass away.
Yep.
I might consider
there
it.
There we go.
Shows you what the Pirates mean to people.
Exactly. No, here's the fact that this is the Pirates is like the worst case scenario. Like, if the Yankees did this. Okay, appreciate the call, James. I'm going to kind of sweeten the pot here a little bit. Let's just say the Yankees did this, all right, and you could get 30 years of Yankee season tickets behind home plate. Then what do you think people are doing, Nathan?
Oh, people are snatching that in an instant, especially if you can sell those bad boys. Those would be expensive tickets every single time.
Well, I would say, you could go about this one or two ways. You could say, well, you get to watch the Yankees. But the flip side is you don't have to watch the Pirates. The whole downside of the whole Pirates offer is the Pirates.
Yeah, exactly. The Yankees, their player Anthony Volpe last year had the top offer for one of these cards because same deal last year they introduced it, and his was $150,000. It wasn't by the Yankees, but his went for $150,000. So that just kind of puts in perspective of what the Skeens probably would go for.
All right. Anybody want to play along with what you would do there? 946-0435. I used to watch Deal or No Deal. Did you ever watch that with Howie Mandel?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it really takes the human greed element into play. You're watching Deal or No Deal. You're some Joe Schmo. And man, you could be up to $112,000, okay? But you're trying for $500,000 or $1 million or whatever you're trying for. Like, if somebody gave me $112,000 right now, look, everybody's life's different. Everybody's scenarios are different, their age and everything. And you got to figure taxes. So if somebody's going to give me $112,000 right now for going on a game show for 10 minutes, and after the taxes I'm going to get $70,000 versus the chance I'm going to go home with zero, you're an effing moron to not take that money.
I would take it.
I don't care if all the odds are in your favor that you could get it up to 500 grand or whatever. And everybody's line of demarcation is different. Now, you're a young guy. You've got 60 years of earning power left. I'm kind of semi-retired. I don't have a hell of a lot of earning power left. That would pay off my house, and I would be pretty set. But if you're – and a lot of these people that go on these game shows, they don't always look like they come from, like, you know, upper class families or anything like that. So if you're on Deal or No Deal, you turning down 100, 150 grand?
No way. No way. I mean, that's, like you said, that's life changing money. That's, for me at least, a good start on a down payment on a house. I mean, imagine that. You don't work.
Yeah.
You somehow luck into potentially $150,000. And what's the upside? You get the house paid off. You know what the downside is? You're living on the streets. So I would take that in a heartbeat.
I am taking the money in a heartbeat. Again, what's the Pirates offer again? Just so people can get it. Because this is – now, did other teams do this?
So this is the first – because this is the second year they're doing it. So this is still a relatively new thing they're trying out, which it's clearly been a success. But I know – I don't think any other teams have done this, because I'm surprised that the Reds didn't do it with Ellie De La Cruz, because that's a massive card as well. It's getting overshadowed by the Skeens, but – I don't think so. I think just individuals put bounties on these cards for what they think they are worth. And, I mean, I think I forget who it was. There was some late-night host that offered, I forget what it's like, 4 VIP tickets just to see the card or something like that. So that's crazy. But the offer is 2 Pirates season tickets behind home plate
for
30 straight years, the next 30 years, softball game with 30 of your whoever at PNC Park, coaching by Pirates alumni. So you might get like a Barry Bonds out there teaching you, hey, listen, you're going to put that ball in the Allegheny or whatever.
Here's thing, that stuff would mean nothing to me.
I agree, because I'm not the biggest baseball fan.
But either way, I mean, I've been for it. I'm not bragging. I've been for it. I've met unbelievable celebrities, interviewed LeBron James, Steph Curry, multiple presidents. To spend a day playing softball with some Pirates guys, legends, I mean – That's neat, but not if I'm talking about $1 million or $2 million.
Yeah, especially, I mean, again, Pirates
Livy
legends.
Livy Dunn.
Pirates legends we're talking about here. You're not talking about Yankees legends.
Yeah.
Pirates legends.
And the same people we see on TV all the time. Teak.
Yeah.
Steve Bless. Bob Walk.
Hey, guess what? I get to hit with Francisco Cervelli. That'd be super fun. I'll tell you what, I'd rather take $3 million than him. I'm sorry, Francisco Cervelli, but I'd rather take $3 million at
nice.
An auction than hit with Francisco Cervelli for 2 hours. I don't know about you. But
that's fantastic. All right.
I try to come up with the most random name I can think of. Gregory Polanco.
Gregory Polanco falling down in right field running after balls. All right. We're going to talk some college football here in a second.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell. Well, Pike.
Hello, I'm Bud Blackie from J&P Auto Mart. Back in 2008, I transferred from the old Bud Mart to J&P Auto Mart. That's right, I've been at J&P Auto Mart selling pre-owned automobiles in Central PA for over 12 years.
J&P Auto Mart is Blair County's largest pre-owned auto outlet. Over 150 units to choose from. Experienced with all types of credit and all forms of income. The creativity to get the deal done.
That's no joke. We're serious about putting you behind the wheel of a quality pre-owned vehicle. So come in and see me, Bud Blackie at J&P Auto Mart.
Apply online at jnpautomart.com or phone 944-5338.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips and snacks for your party, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets too. Davison Snacks has Martin's chips and snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks. From Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville.
Let's go!
ABC Wednesday, country music's biggest night, the CMA Awards.
Let's party, Nashville!
Kicks off with this year's must-see collaboration, Post Malone featuring Chris Stapleton, live. With electrifying performances by Lainey Wilson, Shaboozy, Ashley McBride, Luke Bryan, plus Thomas Rhett and Teddy Swims.
Woo!
Luke Bryan, Peyton Manning, and Lainey Wilson host the CMA Awards live Wednesday, 8, 7 Central on ABC and stream next day on Hulu.
I want to learn how to cook, but I keep ordering takeout.
Accomplishing goals is hard, but when your goal is to learn a new language, Babbel makes it easy. In just 15 minutes a day, Babbel will help you start having conversations in as little as 3 weeks. Words and phrases you'll actually use. So when someone asks,
"How's your French going?"
you can say,
"Babbel facilite grandement l'apprentissage d'une nouvelle langue."
Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Ah, we got a guest in the studio stepped in and said, what if Nutting sells the team? How much more valuable would that make this offer, Nathan?
It'd be interesting. I think it would go up in price, that value, because...
That's right.
What I said is I would actually give Nutting personally the card if he was just to sell the team and get rid of it. I would give him the card and say, keep it if you do not have ownership of any stake in the Pittsburgh.
So there's a good, but he would just...
He would say, no, guess what? I'm going to make myself $50, $60 million every single year.
I got $1.4 billion.
Guess what? I'll buy
team.
That card at auction. So. Yeah.
All right. I want to switch here. Anybody else wants to weigh in on what you would do with the card?
I do wonder if the Pirates would bid on it at auction, though. I'd imagine they would.
I don't know. Because, again, just from a financial scenario, it's not costing them anything.
Yeah.
You can offer 30 years. That's literally costing them. On their end, it's not costing them anything because they don't have value on those seats until they sell the seats. Mm-hmm. And what happens, I mean, I can't imagine all seats behind home plate are sold anyway.
Yeah.
So they're probably eating these seats anyway every mm-hmm. night.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I think it's fun to think about what it's going to go for because I don't think the Pirates offer is going to be accepted.
No way.
There's a very slim chance that card is pulled in Pittsburgh.
The only way you would accept it would be if it's in Pittsburgh.
Exactly.
Now, if you could work out a deal and say, hey, Pirates, I'll give it to you if you can get me 30 years behind the plate at Fenway or Yankee Stadium or Dodger Stadium, mm-hmm. well, then sure, maybe in that scenario.
Yeah, that's going to be – I don't think that'd happen. So it'll be interesting.
Nuttings would have to trade – well, they'd have to trade everybody anyway. They're going to trade everybody.
Hey, here's Paul Skeens. We're going to ship you off to – Fenway, we're going to ship you off to
Boston. If Yankees, if you do this deal with us, we'll promise we'll trade Paul Skeens to you in 4 years.
Exactly.
All right, 946-0435. That's a fun topic. I've been meaning to get to that here for several days because it's been going on for, what, about a week now?
So 2 weeks, the card's been live to pull. So I don't know when it's – I don't think it's coming out anytime soon because there's still a lot of big – like Steph Curry's one-of-one card was never pulled, his rookie. Like, that's out there. Luka Doncic, I think one of his big ones is out there. There's a lot of big cards that still haven't been pulled.
Holy cow, is that right? Because yes. You said a few minutes ago, like, what if 4 years from now the Skeens card's never pulled? I'm like, well, that's never going to happen.
Box,
but...
That box would be worth $1,200 easily in 4 years.
What, it would be just retail value.
Yes, because I think Curry's was 09, Topps Chrome, and his was... I mean, the box at the time probably cost $50, which is crazy to think about being that cheap now. But, I mean, those boxes are well over 10 grand now just to open one and have a shot at it.
Are you a big card person or were you or have
so
you ever
So I'm
been?
Big into, like, just investing in it and kind of – because I put my stock in certain players, kind of like stocks. I don't know. I enjoy it. So one of the big guys I was big on this year was Cam Ward. I invested a lot into him because his stuff was down because he was transferring out of Washington State. Good decision. Good decision.
Okay, so you're treating these like stocks,
yes.
Like stock certificates. So you sell Cam Ward yet?
So I'm still holding Cam Ward because I have a one-of-one autograph of him.
Okay.
So I'm still holding that. I don't know how much. It's probably not crazy yet, but I'm probably going to sell it before the draft because I think that's whenever most hype's going to be.
Okay, so because the issue...
The issue also is it's all their college stuff, and college stuff doesn't go for as much as NFL.
Well, I'm sure you're aware of the history of all this because I'm growing up in the 80s, and a lot of the folks, you know, listening might have been collecting cards in the 80s, and you'd get the Beckett Sports magazine, and it would tell you how much every card was worth. You've heard these stories?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, your card, there's 700 cards in a Topps season box for baseball, and, you know, you might have... Greenberg, whatever his name was, Mike Greenberg, I think was his name. And it might be where your Beckett book says this month, like $1.70. And then the next month it says $2.10. And what kids did, and all my friends did this, we calculated, well, I got all these cards. This is how much money I have that worth. No.
No.
It doesn't work that way.
Absolutely not.
Because that might be like peak value, but that doesn't mean somebody's going to buy the card. And I learned this the hard way. I've told this story before, and I'll always remember this because I had an 83 Tony Gwynn rookie card.
That's a nice card. If that's in good condition, it goes for a good bit.
Okay, and when I was a kid, I want to say it was probably worth $25 to $30 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is, I'm going to say I was 14. So this is 1987, 88. All right. And so I've got my Tony Gwynn rookie card, and I've got some other nice cards from that era. Cal Ripken 83 card as well. And I take it to one of the shops we had in Little Rock, one of these conventions. And for my collection of about 20 really good cards, the guy offered me like $27. And when you're a kid, money's money. You kind of, you're 14 years old. $27. I didn't have a lot of money growing up, so I took it. And then, you know, in the 35 years since then, I think that MF-er, what a complete scumbag.
That Gwynn right now in a 10 goes for $3,000.
Okay, right. So that scumbag, completely ripping off kids, just like me. You know, probably he could have turned that $27 he spent right then into $500 or $400 or whatever, based on the cards that I'd given him. And that's the reason why, that, you know, when I was a kid, it was a fallacy to think that these cards were actually worth anything. They're only worth something if somebody's going to give you the money for them. We'd have eBay at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You had to go to your local card collector, and the card was only worth what he was going to pay you for it.
Mm-hmm.
And if that guy wasn't going to pay you anything for it, well, again, I kind of even remember the guy's face in my mind a little bit, and he was a businessman and everything. I offered him $500 worth of cards. He gave me $27.
I'm going to tell you right now, if you took out that Gwynn and that Ripken, you might only have $5 worth of cards now.
That was the second part of the story. All those cards, because Thompson, Donruss, and Fleer, they all overproduced just for years and years and years. I mean, I had a full Tops box set for 6-7 years or so. And again, you're thinking at the time, oh, these are going to be worth this and this, this, and this. And there came a point where, I don't know when it started to change, 90s, 2000s or whatever, that everybody realized the market's been so flooded by all these cards that they literally are. All those Mike Greenbergs that I thought were worth $2.10 in 1987 are literally worth 3 cents, if even that.
Yeah, they're worth five. I mean, you can just throw them in the fire at this point.
Yeah, exactly, right, yeah.
Yeah, I think the only valuable card to come out of that era, like from like 80s, they call it the junk wax era because that's when it was ever produced, 86 to 92, 93-ish, is the 89 Upper Deck Griffey. That's the only one that
I had that.
That's a nice car. If you can get that, I mean, just without graded, it's probably worth like, I don't know, $15 maybe. I'll look it up. But
the Gwynn is worth $3,000 now.
In pristine condition, which is tough.
Yeah, as a kid, you never really had a pristine kid.
Yeah.
So here's the other story I'll tell. We'll do college football in the next segment. Here's the other story I'll tell. So I lived in a very large subdivision of about 250 houses, all right? And so in our subdivision, it was a gigantic circle and then an inner circle loop with all kinds of roads there. So maybe 300 houses here. There were 150 kids in the subdivision, just tons of kids of all ages. So we hung out with kids all the time, left and right. People, you know, kids back in the day, you know, you didn't have iPads, you didn't have cell phones or anything like that. You had to actually play with kids, and they'd come in your house, and you'd watch some TV, get some popcorn. You'd go to their house. So kids were in and out of houses all the time. So I had, I want to say it was an 87 box set. I don't remember exactly who might have been. Might have been the Olympic year with Maguire, like 86.
That was 86.
86,
yeah,
the 86 Maguire. Was Rafael Palmeiro in that?
Yep, he was in it. The Maguire was the big one. It might have been 85 even.
Okay. Yeah, one of those. And so I had all 700-something of them in my box set. In my lower drawer, I had two or three box sets in there. And at one point, I'm down at one of these kids' houses up the road. And he pulls out that he's got these cards. Now, this was not a card collector kind of guy. I was like, wow, look at all these cards I've got. And they were all like this 85, 86, whatever set it was. I'm like, oh, wow, that's interesting. I go back home. I check my box, and my cards are gone. All of those, the Maguire, the Palmero, maybe Will Clark, all those cards, like the very specific ones that this guy had were gone.
That is brutal. That
so I went and punched him in the face.
There you go.
Now I was, this is 87, so I'm 11, 12, okay? So I went and punched him in the face. I was a badass little kid. I got a lot of fights. Yeah. I wasn't the nicest kid around, but I was tough. So then he's crying. His dad comes home, and he tells his dad what he did. So then his dad calls my dad, and my dad didn't give a crap about it at all because he knew that the kid stole. I didn't even get in trouble. Mm-hmm. He knew that the kid stole my cards. So I don't remember the kid's name, but it was just so ironic because the kid had been in my house like 3 or 4 days earlier, and then he's got the balls to show up and show me that he's got these cards.
Yeah, he wants to brag about what
he's like, got. It's like, what are you doing? I punched a dude in the face, and we weren't friends after that, believe it or not. Yeah. But I just remember my dad took my side. I always remember my dad stuck up for me there.
Yeah, luckily I wasn't like a 52-man toy stole because you'd be out about $10 million right now. So.
Well, did you see the Sandlot? They've got the Babe Ruth ball.
The Babe Ruth ball, yeah.
And that thing would have been worth a massive amount. They're playing with it, and it gets all slobbered up with the beast, the dog.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
The final NASCAR Cup Series standings for 2024 look like this. Christopher Bell at number 5, then Tyler Reddick, William Byron, Ryan Blaney, and Joey Logano was the champion. In the Xfinity Series, also 5-1, Chandler Smith, Austin Hill, AJ Allmendinger, Cole Custer, and Justin Allgaier was the champion there. Truck Series, 5-1, Nicholas Sanchez, Grant Enfinger, Christian Eckes, Corey Heim, number 2, and Ty Majeski was the champion over there. Veteran Crew Chief Chad Johnston has joined Legacy Motor Club as manager of race engineering. And he said, quote, I am excited to join Legacy Motor Club and start my new journey in my career. And I'm thankful to Maury Gallagher, Jimmy Johnson, and Cal Wells for this opportunity. I look forward to the challenges ahead and hope with my expertise and knowledge, I can help build Legacy Motor Club into a top-tier winning organization, end quote. 2311 and Front Row Motorsports will be allowed to race in 2025 after NASCAR removed the anti-competitive release from the open team agreement. These two teams are suing NASCAR, so the purpose of the injunction appeal now is to attempt to allow the two teams to continue to operate as chartered teams for the duration of the antitrust lawsuit. And if the teams lose the lawsuit, they will officially be without charters that they carried in 2024. Hey, make note of this. The NASCAR Awards Banquet is going down this Friday, November 22nd in Charlotte, North Carolina at the Convention Center. It's a little bit earlier than normal, so we'll have details later on in the week. This is the final lap.
Okay, I have to tell you. I was just looking on eBay where I go for all kinds of things I love, and there it was.
That hologram trading card. One of the rarest, the last one I needed for my set. Shiny like the
designer handbag of my dreams. One of a kind. eBay had it, and now everyone's asking, ooh, where'd you get your
windshield wipers? eBay has all the parts that fit my car. No more annoying. Just beautiful.
Whatever you love, find it on eBay. eBay. Things people love.
This Thanksgiving, Target makes hosting easy with our lowest prices of the season. Like Good & Gather Premium Turkey for 79 cents a pound and quality green beans for 55 cents. Or classic stovetop stuffing on sale for $1.99 and delicious favorite day apple or pumpkin pie for only $4.49. Plus, get unlimited same-day delivery with a free 14-day trial of Target Circle 360 to make planning even easier. Save more on hosting. Happier holidays from Target. Restrictions apply.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell. Well, Pike.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Bread and Rose Pacific Coast.
Hank FM.
fun discussion there. You know, you missed this, Nathan. Friday and yesterday, I talked boxing.
Mike Tyson.
Yes, and I had 6 calls Friday, 4 yesterday. So I've only had a handful of boxing shows in 15 years of doing this. What did you make of that fiasco?
Well, let's start with Netflix. Their servers might have been, luckily I was at a place in which the servers were fine, but I'll tell you what, Twitter wasn't too happy with the servers. So that's the first thing. But I thought the fight was absolutely horrendous. I thought the 2 fights before them were very, very exciting. But that, I mean, Tyson, what did he throw, 18 punches or something like that?
He landed 18 punches.
It's terrible.
Rigged? Rigged to your
opinion? No, it's
staged?
Not rigged.
Staged?
Staged.
Yeah.
It's not rigged because I don't think there was, I think Tyson wanted to pay it. I mean, $20 million to get in the ring. Against,
but after the first round, he wanted nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, I mean, he was swinging the first round or two, and then after that, like there was only time, like he just pranced around. I mean, because I thought, you know, he was going to go swing in the first 3-4 rounds here and just kind of try to knock him out. Then after that, he's just going to be gassed, and we'll see where it goes. But
Doug Herendeen showed me after the show yesterday this clip that's on YouTube of these. It's a clip of the fight on TV, but on the TV stand, there's 2 cats. Like just kind of knocking each other, kind of clawing at each other a little bit. And there's like 100 times more action from these cats than there are going on in the ring. Because there's Tyson and Paul are separated by like 8 feet the whole time while these 2 cats are just sitting there jabbing at each other.
Well, I think Mike Tyson's holiday that night was probably kissing the reporter and just walking away and having everything out. So, I mean, it was a gigantic waste of time. I'm not happy because I'm not a late night guy. I stayed up till like 1 o'clock watching that. I'm irritated by it, but I guess I can say, I mean, I guess he fought a couple years ago against, who was it, Roy Jones Jr.? A couple years ago, I think he fought. So, I mean, this is really the first sanctioned fight I've seen of Mike Tyson. Like, it's not a good one, so we'll see if he actually steps away now.
He got his money.
He should, but you know how these people do. I think he's going to fight again. I don't know who, but because I think Jake Paul is going after McGregor next. I think they're going to fight. I'm excited for that.
We've got our phone lines open. Anything you want to discuss, we're going to talk some college football here, 946-0435. We got the college football playoff rankings will be released today. As of right now, last week is Oregon 1, OSU 2, Texas 3, Penn State 4, Indiana 5. The world is catching on to Indiana. And what happens is, it's like, oh, Indiana, feel-good story, 10-0. Indiana's schedule, atrocious. Does Indiana belong anywhere near the top 5?
No. They belong in close to that back half, like 12. They belong somewhere in that area because you have to value that they haven't lost yet. They haven't slipped up. Here's what I'm saying. If Ohio State beats them by 3 or more scores, they should not be in the playoffs, in my opinion.
Yeah, we got into this a little bit the other day. What is the number that they've got to be? If they're within 10 in Columbus, that's a pretty good showing.
I think this spread right now is 13.5, I want to say.
If it's 14-plus and they've beaten nobody, if it's 14 or more and Indiana has beaten nobody, now unless it's a 7-point game and Ohio State scores a minute to go, you know, and it's really a closer game, but how close does Indiana actually have to keep it?
Within 21, I think. I think after, if it goes to 4 scores, I think the committee looks at them and says, it's going to be tough to because you got to realize Tennessee's probably going to drop a little bit. So it's going to be like, okay, do you take a 10-2 Tennessee team or do you take an 11-1 Indiana team? Tennessee's beaten Alabama. Who's Indiana beat? Michigan? FIU? Western Indiana, I think. Like, it's not a good schedule. Now here's the question. Would you rank Indiana above, let's say, a Boise State?
Boise lost to Oregon.
By 1 point.
By 3 points.
3 points.
That's all I need to know, Boise compared to Indiana. I mean, that's Boise. I'd take Boise in a heartbeat. They won at UNLV. Remember, UNLV was good at the time. I don't know if UNLV is any good now. Let's see, UNLV is 8-2. So Boise beat UNLV. Beat Nevada. I don't know if they're any good. Won at Hawaii. Beat Utah State. Absolutely, I'd take Boise over Indiana. No, that's not even a consideration.
I would agree with you, and I think the reason I'd take them over is just because of Ash and Genty right now. So Indiana is literally going to just to have to not crap the bed here to make the playoffs. And I really
do. Yeah, because they got Purdue the next week.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to win at Purdue. But I think Indiana is – I know people talk about Miami being a fraud, Penn State, Notre Dame. I think Indiana is
Well, let's get
fraud.
Into Penn State. Is Penn State properly ranked
four? No. Penn State, to me, should be behind all the SEC teams except Tennessee. That's my opinion. I think they should be behind that cluster of Alabama, Ole Miss, and
so Georgia. Oregon, Ohio State, Texas. Now, Texas, look, Texas hasn't beaten anybody either.
But, Texas, but you got to give them.
But we think Texas. So yes. Are we comfortable with those three? Oregon, Ohio State, Texas.
That right now, in my opinion, should be the top three. After that, I would go.
Georgia?
I put Alabama over Georgia right now.
See, even though Alabama beat Georgia, it was 28-0, and Georgia came back and took the lead there. You still think Alabama's a better team?
I think Alabama, whenever they're on, they're a better team than Georgia is.
I do. Oh, my gosh.
Because I think Jalen Milroe could take over a game with his legs. I don't think that's a hot take. I really do.
Oh, man. Wow. I think that is a hot take because Alabama got really hot for a quarter and a half, and then for the entire rest of that game, Georgia was clearly the better team.
Yeah, they were. I think Alabama's
And that
sneaky.
Was at Bama.
I think Bama is sneaky. I think people do not give them the respect they deserve because they have those two losses. I think that team is a pretty – I think that team is slightly better than Georgia. Just slightly.
Okay,
right now.
Either way. So
I think it's a coin flip game. I think
so 4-5 Alabama, Georgia?
Then I'd go Ole Miss at 6.
6?
Even though Ole Miss did beat Georgia, I would put Ole Miss behind them because they have a worse loss with Kentucky.
To Kentucky, yeah.
Then after that, I don't want to buy into the hype.
Penn State.
But I sort of like Notre Dame. I'm buying in the hype a little
bit. So you got Penn State at best 7th or 8th, right?
I think they'd be 8 right now. I think they'd be 8. I put this team above the Corey.
He's wearing a Notre Dame. Nathan's wearing a Notre Dame t-shirt in here. I thought it was going to be Marshall at first. Don't you have a Marshall?
I have a Marshall hoodie.
I saw green first. I'm like, wait, Marshall? Charles
no.
Huff?
No, not Marshall. Right. I think Notre Dame is just – they've literally since the Northern Illinois loss, which is a terrible loss, don't get me wrong, they have been on a roll. And we'll see this week against Army if they're able to continue that.
We got a call on Mike Tyson, but then there's a very, 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 very interesting – I wish we had more time on this – scenario now about – the conference championship games and some thoughts from coaches in the SEC about not even wanting to go to the conference championship game and risking another loss. We'll get to that in a second. Garrett in Altoona, what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you today, sir?
Good, man. What's going on?
Listen, I don't have much time, but I just had to get in there and talk about this fight. I mean, I'm only 17, but when I'm 58, I wish that I look as good as Tyson.
Okay.
I'll give him his flowers. But, he looked conditioned. He did look conditioned.
But, I mean, I still feel like Tyson could have whooped Paul in a heartbeat.
Why would you feel confident in that?
Just, Paul is, what, 10 fights, I believe, if I remember correctly. He's only had 10 fights before that.
And he had lost one to Tommy Fury.
And, you know, I'll give him that. You know, he can fight, but it's Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson, what is it? I'm trying to remember his record now.
He's 50 and 7, I believe, now.
50 and 7.
Yeah, 50 and 7, which is, I can't do the math in my head real quick, but that's pretty close to Tyson's record if you break it down.
It's fascinating. But, let me just stop you, Garrett, real quick, because you're 17. This is amazing. I did 30 minutes on this on the show yesterday. Mike Tyson, from like 1987 to 1990, was the baddest man alive. And then it ended. And he's never been that since then. And I get why somebody like me, who grew up with Mike being the baddest man alive, would still harbor some psychological notion that Mike Tyson is a really, really, really bad dude. But for you, since 1990, since he got lost the biggest upset in the history of boxing to Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson has been unbelievably, unbelievably pedestrian, okay? So he's lost 7 times. He got off to the great start where he just killed everybody for the first round or two. But I'm just curious, in your mind, why you still think of 58-year-old Tyson, who hasn't been good since 1990, why you think he could beat anybody?
Maybe it's because I come in with the notion of knowing who both Pauls are because of growing up in the generation that grew up with YouTube and all of that.
You just see him as a goofball. You just see Jake Paul as a goofball, right?
Yeah, and at times, and, you know, I hate to say this, at times a loser, especially with, you know, they have track records. I'm sure everybody knows the controversial videos and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I just see them as goofballs and at times losers. And Tyson, I grew up watching The Hangover and when they stole Tyson's tiger.
Mike, it's interesting, though, because, again, this is Mike Tyson went to prison for 3 years for raping a girl. Mike Tyson was on TV with Barbara Walters 35 years ago with his wife, Robin Givens, who was an actress at the time. And she said, "I'm afraid of Mike. He scares me." So if we're going to throw around the word loser, Mike Tyson is a gigantic loser of a human being. So I just be careful there. Read Mike Tyson's history. There's not a lot. Look, it is funny. I grew up with The Hangover, too. I think The Hangover is the funniest movie maybe of all time.
It's pretty good. I watched it the other day.
When Mike does the Phil Collins in the air tonight and he pounds Zach Galifianakis, it's awesome. The guy spent 3 years in prison for raping a girl. I don't know why he wasn't canceled from our culture 30 years ago and not invited back.
That's a fair point, but again, yeah, I agree. That's a pretty big loser move, and, you know, trying to watch my tongue here, you know, that's nothing that people should forget either. But then again, 30 years ago, you know, I feel like people were just letting things go. That's a little off topic. You know, that's something you don't let go. Just deep down at heart, I feel like Mike Tyson still could have took Paul, and I feel like he still can.
Good stuff, man. I appreciate it. It's a good call. I appreciate the call. There's a lot of interesting stuff there, but I just spent a whole day on this yesterday, yes. Nathan, and my summary was, psychologically, we still think of Mike Tyson from 1988.
Yeah,
he hasn't been that guy for a long, long time. But whether we want him to be, because it redeems us from our younger age, somebody like me, it shows us that he was the baddest man alive. But ever since Mike Tyson lost to Buster Douglas as like a 200-1 favorite, I mean, Mike Tyson has literally not been a decent boxer at all.
Yeah, I feel like the one caveat on that is whenever he did come out of prison fighting Peter McNeely, that Tyson that showed up, chiseled.
Who is Peter McNeely?
Peter McNeely.
Who is he?
He's not a big guy, but have you seen that, just them?
I know. I remember what you're talking about, but I'm also remembering biting off Lennox or Evander Holyfield's ear and Lennox Lewis beating his ass in the eighth round and knocking him out. See, here's the thing. Lennox Lewis was a boxer. Lennox Lewis was one of the greatest boxers of all time. Mike Tyson might have been the toughest fighter we've ever seen. For a four-year period, Mike Tyson might have been the toughest, badass fighter we've ever seen. At no point has Mike ever been a good boxer. Never.
Okay.
Never. I'm talking about boxing. Boxing skill. Sugar Ray Leonard. Lennox Lewis. Boxing skill. Working the ring. Moving around the ring. Saving your energy for later. If Mike got you in the first or second round because he was just a bad man, you were going down. But Mike's whole career was if you could get him to the third round, fourth round, you were going to beat him.
Fair. Fair. He was the baddest man because he can knock you out with one punch. I hear this conversation all the time. I'll make it quick. Would you take a punch in the face from Mike Tyson for $1 million?
Hell no, man.
Good.
That could kill you.
Exactly. I can't believe people would say yes to
now
that.
Now you're dead.
Exactly. Reconstructive facial surgery.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much. You fly.
At Shoofly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoofly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoofly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoofly's fit specialists, visit their website, shooflystores.com. Shoofly. Your feet will thank you.
The holidays are here, a time when family surrounds the dinner table and warm memories are created. Mel and Chris at Kepner's Grandview Meats help you to create the perfect Christmas table, rib roast centerpiece, fillets, tenderloin roast, or how about a beautiful standing rib roast? Mel, Chris, and their family wish you and your family the warmest holiday season. Follow the old paths to Kepner's Grandview Meats.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
All right, we'll take one more call here. We got to thank our sponsor, J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. They are the promoting sponsor of our show each and every day. We appreciate all of their support. If you're heading to a game or hunting trip, fishing trip, head on over there to 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. Nathan, I tell you, we keep getting bombarded with these boxing calls.
If Netflix with again, we can't be having this buffering stuff, but if they want to advertise these big fights, I hope like someday the UFC does this where they somehow either lower the cost of the stuff, because I think the UFC would take off just by this notion of how well this did. I get it. Mike Tyson's a big figure back in the 90s and 80s. People with nostalgia are going to watch it, but I think that boxing and fighting will become more of a very, very popular sport of people, if it was more accessible for people.
All right, welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Steven Altoona.
Steve, I got 1 minute, buddy. Go ahead.
Yeah, in regards to the college football playoff, what I find intriguing, and, you know, in our lifetime, Corey, and I'm 49, I don't remember, maybe you do, I can't think of, like, the last time an SEC team ever played in like a real cold weather game.
Yeah, exactly.
With that being said, not obviously best case scenario is Penn State getting, like you've said before, you guys have said, you know, Boise State coming to Beaver Stadium. But with the way, say, for example, like Georgia losing 2 on the road this year,
it probably won't be Georgia anymore. Georgia will be moved up. If Penn State's at home in that scenario, it'd probably be like Ole Miss or Tennessee, okay, or Alabama. You see what I'm saying? Georgia's probably going to move up to where they would be ahead. But Penn State, Ole Miss is very, very much on the table. So, yeah, how's Ole Miss going to play on December 20th in Beaver Stadium?
Right. And so when you're in the SEC and you're used to playing all your games 70 to 90 degree weather,
yep,
and you got to come to Beaver Stadium and it's 18 degrees maybe or whatever, something like
could
that.
Be a big
I'm
difference.
Not saying I would put my $100 on Penn State, but I wouldn't count them out totally.
Thanks, buddy. We are out of time, Jerry. Sorry I couldn't get to you. Nathan, thank you, man.
Yeah, absolutely. 1998, I looked it up. It's like kind of last time an SEC team played outdoors. That was LSU at Notre Dame in November. So.
Black and Gold Breakdown
Sports
Show
Central
coming up.
Is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona. Hank is WC 1370 AM 96.1 FM.